Hi everyone, I'm Annabelle Candy from Getting the Hot Spot, and I'm very excited today. I've got Jen Gresham from Everyday Bright and the No Regrets Career Academy with me today, and we're going to be talking about location-independent lifestyle. I think so many of my readers are really interested in independent living and being able to choose where they live, so I wanted to get Jen around to talk about it because she's the real expert on that kind of thing. Hi there, Jen.
Hi, Annabelle. Thanks so much for chatting with me. It's interesting. I talk to people all the time about what they want to do with their careers. So really what I do at the No Regrets Career Academy is helping people find that career that's going to make them happier, more successful, and fulfilled. And I can't tell you how many people say, what I really want to do with my life is travel.
How did you get into the careers advisory kind of route, Jen?
Well, you know, I went through a pretty dramatic career change myself. So I'm trained as a scientist. I have a PhD in biochemistry. I spent 16 years in the Air Force as a scientist. And I got to that point where I realized that I enjoyed my days off more than my days at work. And I just... You know that feeling that you have, like, wow, is this it?
Yeah.
So when I went through my process of trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, it was very difficult. It was a bit agonizing, really. But once I'd made the full switch, people started coming out of the woodwork saying, can you show me how to do that too? And so that's why I created the No Regrets Career Academy, is to show people how to find that ideal career.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. And what about the location independence? Do you know a bit about that as well?
Because I used to be in the military, and actually my husband still is, we move a lot. So, in fact, I think we were just adding it up. We've been in four different places in the last 4 years. So it's a lot of moving. And then we just moved overseas for the first time. So certainly in terms of moving around, we have experience there, but also in terms of talking to clients and really getting down to understanding what do they mean by location independence and what is the criteria that you really need to look at for making that decision, whether it's right for you or not.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. That's just what we need to talk about. So you're from the States and you've moved over to London now. Is that where you are?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, that sounds good. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Everyone says, oh, I want to travel. And that's exactly what you've experienced and your clients telling you as well. Do you want to kind of explain, just in case anyone's wondering what we're talking about, what location independence really is?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because, you know, different people come at location independence from a different perspective. So I like to say that there are three different models, really, of location independence. There's what I would call the jet setter model. And this is where you have a home base and you're really traveling the world extensively. So Chris Gillibo is a great example of this, right? He has a home in Portland, Oregon. That's where he has his roots and his family. But he's jetting off all over the world frequently. Then there's the nomad model, which is where you pick up and you move every few weeks or a few months to different parts of the world. So your home is changing, but you don't stay any place very long.
Yeah.
And then finally, there's what I would call the expat model, right, where you simply pick up and move to a foreign location for an extended but undefined period of time.
Okay.
So
which model do you fit into, Jen?
So really, I think that in some respects, you could say we've done a couple of those. So we have certainly in the military, we have an element of the nomad model, right? Because we're picking up and moving our home. It's just on the time span of years. But, you know, it's not uncommon for us to move every 12 months. And now we've just picked up the expat model, and we actually intend to be here in London for quite some time. So it's really very different. I mean, I guess that's the one thing I want your listeners to take away is that those models are very different and you get a very different lifestyle depending on which one you're pursuing.
Okay. that sounds good. I think I might be a slow nomad. Okay, Jen. So how can people choose which one of those models is the right one for them? Have you got any tips on that?
Yeah, well, so I think one of the things you have to consider is how many possessions do you have, right? So if you have a lot of stuff, you know, the nomad model is really going to be a problem. So even with the expat model, when we moved over to London, because we simply can't afford as large a place here as we had there, we really had to downsize a lot. And what's interesting is we've now gone 2 months without any furniture, and I realized that we could have downsized a lot more. So I think if you want to pursue something like the nomad model or even the expat model, you need to take a hard look at what you're willing to get rid of. We also don't even have a car anymore, which is great for us. But, you know, I think if you're used to living with those kinds of things, that's a big decision.
Yeah, I think it's a huge factor, isn't it? I've been where you are now, living with no furniture for months on end, or years actually, sometimes. And I think people have the big dream of travel, but you've got to realize if you really want to travel, you've got to take a few knockbacks with it. It's not all good.
Right, right. And, you know, I think the other big consideration is understanding why you want to be location independent. So I think people who are really interested in sort of seeing the world, and when I say that, I mean really seeing sort of tourist sites to say, yes, I've been to the pyramids in Egypt, I've been to Machu Picchu. That's really a jet setter model. Whereas if you are more interested in fully experiencing different cultures, then you're probably going to want to look at the nomad model or the expat model. Right, because especially, for example, if you'll hear about folks who maybe decide to start a business and move to Thailand, but they may be so cash-strapped and time-poor that they don't get to see any more of the world than they did previously, other than the little village that they're living in.
Yeah, that's what I often wonder about some of these stories you read about people who are location-independent and have their internet business. I kind of think, well, what's the point in being in Thailand if you're just on your computer all the time?
Right. And, you know, I think people don't really understand how much time and effort it takes to start a business. So there's sort of this romantic notion of, well, I'll run off to somewhere else and I'll just fiddle around on my computer a few times and I'll have lots of times to explore. But you really may not.
Right. Yeah, I think what you said is a good point. You've got to really plan it. If that's something that you dream of, you're going to have to work at setting up your independent business before you actually leave, basically.
Right, exactly. And I think the other huge consideration is whether or not being location independent allows you to do the work that you want to do. So, you know, I actually have always wanted to live in Europe. It's been a lifelong dream for me. And I used to jokingly say, you know, I don't care what I'm doing. I'd be willing to hand out towels at the gym if I could just live in Europe. And that sounds like a good idea, but really that would get old very quickly. So yeah. I think you have to be really careful about those compromises that you're looking at when you're trying to go location independent.
Right. Well, you know, you can do those kind of jobs for a while, can't you? But you don't want to do them forever.
Right. So there's really no point in moving to Europe and being miserable.
No. Well, if you move to Europe, you need to have money to see Europe, don't you, basically?
Right. Right.
And you can't do much there. So what are the kind of considerations that people should consider? You talked about the kind of downsizing, the need to let go of your possessions and so on. Is there anything else that we haven't mentioned?
Well, I think the other big one is being comfortable with not having routines. This is something that I have really struggled with because I like routine. I suppose as a former military person, that's not surprising.
Yeah.
Right? And so every time you move, your routines get completely disrupted and it's pretty chaotic. And that will be much more or less stressful depending on your personality. So understanding how you do with that, you know, how good are you at problem solving? I mean, things that were very simple where you came from may not be simple where you're moving to. And again, this goes back to our, maybe you just want to be a jet setter where you're just visiting for a short period of time instead of actually moving. As an example, you know, when we moved here to London, my daughter had to start school because they start school a year earlier here. And it's the most complicated system I've ever come across to get your child into school. And it actually, we were forced to, in some respects, put her into what they call a public school, but it's a private school by U.S. standards where you have to pay a lot of money. And we hadn't budgeted for that. So it was this huge expense. It was very stressful. And so things like that can take you by surprise.
Why wouldn't they let her go to a state school?
Well, it turns out that they have far more children than they have places at state schools. So this was something we hadn't anticipated. We had every intention of sending her to one of the British schools, but there was simply no room for her. And they said, well, you know, when a place opens up, we'll let you know. But in the meantime, you can't send her to school. So she was going to get behind all of her peers. Yeah, it was terrible.
Unbelievable. Oh, well. Now, I have to say, obviously, I've left England to move to, well, I've moved all over the place, but now I'm in Australia. So I think you're, you know, I admire you moving to England, Jen. I think you're a good experience, but I'm glad you're doing it for me.
That's right. And if you would like to experience the jet setter model and come visit me anytime.
Oh, definitely. I was just there this year, though, and I don't go very often. Probably about once every 4 years I'm supposed to go back. But maybe you'll still be there.
I hope so. We really enjoy it, I should say. But, you know, there are these challenges that, I mean, the first month that we were here was just so stressful, trying to get used to everything. And, you know, my personality type is I'm okay with that, and I really enjoy problem solving, which is a good thing because I was doing it a lot. You know, and I think the other issue, one thing that I do struggle with a bit is, you know, I tend to be a little bit on the shy side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, moving to a country where people tend to be a little bit more aloof, as my neighbor described it, has been really challenging in terms of making friends.
What nationality, your neighbor?
She's British. So she said, yes, we're a bit aloof, aren't we?
I think it's especially hard in a city, in any country. When you move to a big city, people just aren't as friendly. If you move to a smaller town or a village, people are much more open to meeting new people. So definitely, London's massive, isn't it?
Yes.
It will be hard to make friends. I always find having the kids in school is a good one, though, and you do build up relationships that way. It's a bit sad, but it seems to work out well.
Right. Well, and I think the other thing to consider is that, you know, so I'm working from home all the time, which is great, but it also means that I'm not having regular contact with people like I would if I were working in an office. And I think a lot of people don't consider the impact that that has. I mean, especially if they're highly extroverted, making that switch to working independently from home can be very difficult.
Because, of course, you can still be in touch with your friends on Facebook and Skype conversations like this, but it's just not the same, is it?
Certainly not for the extroverts. I mean, for introverts like me, it's great. but even I do sometimes struggle with feelings of loneliness and, you know, that sense of, well, I want to go out and have a cup of tea with someone, but I don't know anyone to call.
Yeah.
So
I know that. I've been there too. But I think it takes a year to really get to know somewhere and start making decent friends. So you've got to give it time, basically.
Yes, I agree. I completely agree. And certainly, you know, having a child at school is helpful. So I'm now meeting the parents of her friends.
That's good. And because it's an international school, hopefully they're not all the aloof parents.
Right. And I should say, you know, I've been very fortunate in some respects because I knew some bloggers over here, and so they really have gone out of their way to make me feel welcome and to be of service. If I hadn't had those blogger friends, it would have been a lot harder.
Oh, that's fantastic. Hey, just before we wrap up, Jen, I wanted to ask you one more thing. You kind of mentioned people have got to leave their possessions, maybe get out of their routine. I know when a lot of people talk to me about, oh, I want to travel like you, and obviously to you as well, they say, oh, I want to travel, how do you do it? The main thing that's probably holding them back is fear. Have you got any tips on that?
Yes, so I think you're exactly right. Fear is the big issue. And I think what you need to do is get really specific about what it is that you're afraid of. You know, are you afraid of getting robbed? Are you afraid of, you know, terrorism? I mean, what is it exactly that you're afraid of? And then you can start to make plans for mitigating those risks. And I think giving yourself little practice sessions, you know, I mean, you don't necessarily, you know, I hear a lot about people being afraid to come to London because of crime. But, you know, it's really just, it's a big city like any city. So if it's just going international that makes you worry, go travel to New York City first. And you'll get a very similar sense of what it's like coming to London.
Okay, now that sounds like a good tip to really pinpoint the exact fears, because then you can find a way to get around them and stop worrying about them, I suppose.
That's right.
Do it. Have to in the end, don't you?
Yeah, and really what people need to do is get specific and then start breaking those fears down into manageable chunks that they, you know, so it's not so overwhelming.
Okay, that's a brilliant tip. Thank you, Jen. I think we should wrap it up now. I want to keep this kind of short and sweet. I'm going to leave the comments open. So if people have got more questions about being location independent or setting up a new career, they can come into the comments and ask you or me about it. Do you want to just tell us the website addresses where people can go to find out more about you, Jen?
Absolutely. So it's the noregretscareeracademy.com. So just No Regrets Career Academy. And when you go there, you'll find there's a free training on how to discover what that ideal career is for you. And there's a ton of videos, a ton of content. The feedback so far has been amazing. So you can go there and you can leave me questions there as well about really how to get specific on your career and whether location independence is something that might work for you.
Fantastic. I've seen that actually. And of course, that's a comment. It does sound brilliant. I said I wish you'd been around when I was leaving school. Could have saved me a lot of heartache. And you're starting a new course as well. When does that start, Jen?
Yeah, so actually the No Regrets Career Academy is an 8-week online course that will step people through a framework that allows them to find that ideal career. Class starts on September 25th, so if you're interested in joining that, you would need to sign up before September 24th.
Okay, but people can go to noregretscareeracademy.com and just see the free training videos to begin with?
That's right.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, thanks so much, Jen. It's great to talk to you. And I'll hope to talk to you again soon. And good luck in London.
Thanks so much. It was great to talk to you too, Annabelle. And as always, as a huge fan of Get in the Hotspot, it's great to have a chance to talk to your audience.
Oh, thank you. You too. I'll speak to you again soon, Jen.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.